and welcome back to Speak Your Truth Now, the podcast where we invite you all to speak your own truths. My name is Amanda Daniel Monroe, and this week I am so excited because I have one of my bestest friends in the world on the podcast with me, Cameron Smith. So if you want to introduce yourself, Cameron, go ahead.
Hello, everyone. My name is Cameron Smith. I am a gay, cis, white male, just to get all the privilege out of the way, I guess. Yeah, I've known Amanda since high school, and I am talking today with her about one of the topics that I really support.
Yeah, that's toxic masculinity. So we're really excited to be talking about that. And Cameron approached me and wanted to do this episode. And I think that it's really important to kind of, you know, have this conversation with someone who has actual experience with that versus me, you know, being a female. So I guess we'll go ahead and jump in and talk about what toxic masculinity is. I know that like mainstream media has kind of taken claim of the term, and it can become like really divisive for some reason. So we'll talk a little bit about that. But what I think about when I hear toxic masculinity is cultural masculine norms that we have found to be harmful to men.
Right.
And of course, being harmful to men, that affects our society at large.
Yeah, I think that toxic masculinity really has longstanding roots in this country particularly. And I think that something that comes from the patriarchy and comes down from that. I do want to say that a lot of people think of toxic masculinity as men and they suppress emotions and they have to be aggressive and that kind of stuff. One thing I just want to mention about toxic masculinity, I found this great sentence that talks about it, which is, what can come of teaching of boys that they can't express emotion openly, that they have to be tough all the time, and that anything other than that makes them feminine or weak?
Yeah, I think that's a good way to sum that up. And I think what's also really important to point out is that the term toxic masculinity, it doesn't come from feminists, it doesn't come from women. It's a topic that comes from men, actually, and is not meant to demonize men. And what you just said kind of really speaks to that.
Yeah, I mean, I think that toxic masculinity is something that a lot of women who study gender do talk about, but obviously it's something that men are the ones that deal with it, and men are the ones that started the idea of it and are trying to correct it, I guess. So.
And to kind of just talk about some of the themes, I know that you mentioned not showing emotions, things like that. I guess other things to kind of think about is violence and, you know, having to be the tough guy. And like you said, when you're being taught to be tough, then it's not expected that boys can, you know, express their emotions because they get labeled as, you know, like feminine or weak.
Yeah, I think it's really something that is taught from a young age. I think there are some people that have written about this, and I've read some articles about this too, but boys are not born with this inherent lack of emotion, or they don't just automatically are aggressive towards women or anything like that. But when our society says things like boys will be boys when they are being aggressive or they're roughhousing or whatever, that really instills this thing in boys that those behaviors are okay, and they grow up thinking that those behaviors are okay, and it winds up with men as adults, and you know, they're domestic abusers or they, you know, lash out in some other way,
right?
And that's really something that I think we need to start looking at with boys as boys, like young boys that are taught these things.
Yeah, I know that I read somewhere too that like kids start to believe in, you know, like these gender roles around the age of 10. So they start to really like adopt those. So like before then, you know, when you have little kids, they don't know what are quote unquote boy toys or girl toys. They just play with whatever. But by that age where they're 10, then they've kind of figured out by, you know, interacting with other people of their same gender that, you know, certain things are acceptable and certain things aren't. And like you said, it's not biological. A lot of this, it's more social. And so that's what we mean when we talk about toxic masculinity. We're not saying that men are aggressive and they're ruining the world, but it's just what can happen when we expect men to not show emotion and things like that. And that can be harmful. Another thing too that I really want to talk about, you know, because my background is in psychology, I thought it was really interesting that the APA, which is the American Psychological Association, came out with guidelines for psychologists around treating boys and men. And that came out, I want to say, in 2018, late 2018. And, you know, it's not for the media, it's for psychologists. And they felt that there was a need to talk about how do you treat boys and men therapeutically, because they've always been seen as the norm. You know, men are the norm. And so psychologists have spent a long time figuring out how to work with different ethnic groups, LGBTQ community, and now are really seeing, you know, that there are some things that we need to address with males as well. And so I thought that was really interesting. And I got to kind of read about it a little bit more. And like I said, it's geared towards psychologists, but it got a lot of interest in the media and I think some negative feedback from a lot of people. But what is really true is that it's definitely something that I think psychologists need to be aware of. And I think that it makes sense to have these guidelines because, you know, there's a couple of things that we definitely know is that mental health issues, men don't seek help at the rate that women do. Men are more likely to commit suicide. And like we talked about, violence, even substance abuse. And of course, men are more likely to be incarcerated. So I think the guidelines are really trying to help psychologists be aware of these things and be aware that they are socially constructed so that in therapy, they're not focused on trying to help this person be more accepted or help them have this persona, this male persona that doesn't really fit them, but more of accepting yourself for who you are and trying to fit into society.
Yeah, there's something I wanted to point out that you said. I have looked at this from different people's point of views, and one person pointed out that there are three overarching risks of toxic masculinity, which is the risk to women and children, the risk to other men, and the risk to self. And that's something that you just talked about, that the APA, I think, is now saying with these guidelines, you know, there are risks, and here are some guidelines to help treat these men so that these things don't happen. But I think it's really interesting that, like, it didn't exist before, and that, you know, men were seen as a norm, and that just kind of, it makes whole sense when you think about it, but it's obviously something that's caused some of these problems.
Yeah, and talking about this, it actually reminds me of a story that I saw recently. There was a veteran, he was a male, and I think he had some health issues and whatnot, but he ended up being discharged from the military. And because he was discharged, he could get health benefits through the VA, Veterans Administration. And he said, oh, you know, I don't need health coverage, like I'll be fine or whatever. And then he ended up getting really sick. Then he didn't have insurance. And so that kind of reminds me a little bit of like what we're talking about with this toxic masculinity, is men not as likely to go to see the doctor, not as likely to seek help, think that they don't need, you know, like health insurance. I mean, come on. And then the things that can happen, you see, once this person gets sick, then they end up in debt and that affects the family. You know, it's a ripple effect.
Yeah, I mean, personally, I guess I've had some run-ins with toxic masculinity in my life. I grew up in the South, and I think that toxic masculinity is more prevalent in the South, just from what I can tell based on the country. So I'm gay and I don't necessarily fit all the typical stereotypes of being a man. And I think that the way that I was raised, I just wasn't pushed to certain things or that kind of stuff. So in middle school, I think is where it was most obvious to me. I was bullied a little bit, just like, people call me gay and that kind of stuff because of the way I acted, I guess. But the biggest story that I have is something that I still remember to this day, but it was in PE class and it was in eighth grade. And in PE, they have to try to come up with all these different things for the kids to do, right? Because kids have PE like every day. So one of the, during one part of the year, they decide to split up the boys and the girls and do the two different units. And for the girls, they did like a Pilates or kickboxing type of thing. And for the boys, they decided to do wrestling. And I remember doing the wrestling unit in seventh grade, and I went along with it and that kind of stuff, and I did it. But in eighth grade, they said, if you want to sit out of the wrestling unit, you can. So me being like an eighth grader and being like, I don't know, not wanting to do PE and being somewhat lazy, I guess, I was like, if I can sit out of this, I will. So I did sit out of it. But during the wrestling, while the coach was teaching the wrestling unit, and there was me and a couple other boys sitting out of it, at one point he says to the boys that were in the wrestling unit, those guys sitting over there think wrestling is gay.
What?
And I was just like, that makes no sense. But it just showed to me that, like, if you weren't being the man and doing the manly thing of wrestling or whatever, then you were seen as less than a man. Right, you were called gay. And so obviously I told my dad when I got in the car that day that he said that, and he turned the car around immediately and marched into the office and talked to the eighth grade administrator, and the coach called my parents that night and apologized. But to me, that's just like the epitome of toxic masculinity in middle school setting.
I think that's when you definitely start to see that. That makes sense. Yeah, in middle school.
So that was very interesting. And, once I got to high school, I think once you find your friend group, then people don't talk about you that much anymore. So I don't think that you're really bullied as much once you have like your clique that you fit in with.
Yeah, and sadly for a lot of people, they don't, find those groups in high school to fit in with, and they continue to have those issues.
It's interesting. I think that it all, that coach actually wound up being at my high school too, so.
Oh, really? Okay, you have to tell me his name later so I can see if I remember him. So, like we were saying, a lot of these gender roles, they're hugely social and they're not biological at all. And, when we talk about that, what we really mean is, I guess it's hard for some people to wrap their heads around because when you're growing up, you're told that your gender is linked to your genitalia, whereas when we talk about gender and how we're talking about it right now, we're talking more about what's expected from a person when they have a particular type of genitalia. The social pressures or the social expectations from people. So I think that's really important to point out. And, we're talking about how people dress. Men are not supposed to wear dresses, or men are not supposed to wear high heels, or what we eat, what we can do, the pitch of our voices, if that's masculine or feminine. And like we said, that doesn't come with biology. That doesn't come with your genitalia. Like, if you have these parts, then you're supposed to act this way or be this way. Like, no, they're separate things. And I think a lot of young people start to realize that coming up through like high school and college. And I think that once you kind of start to have that realization, it kind of opens things up for a lot of people to do the things that they want to do and be the way that they want to be, without being concerned about these social norms that we have that obviously we know change over the years. And like pink being a female color when men used to wear pink all the time.
Yeah, traditionally masculine because it came from red. It was just seen as a lighter shade of red.
Right.
And so men wore pink because red was a traditionally masculine color as well. And women actually wore blue more because blue was seen as feminine. And then we totally flipped it in like starting in the, I guess, late 80s, early 90s, I guess. Is when it really became prevalent as like pink is the girl color and blue is a boy color. And, you know, it's seen through everywhere. You know, I worked at Target for a while and the aisles used to be labeled girls' toys and boys' toys. And they had the backer paper behind the toys was pink. And, you know, for boys, it was blue. And it was just like, you know, drilled in your head, right? That these are the colors and these are the toys. And Target has since changed that position. And they now don't label the aisles girls' toys and boys' toys. I still think that it's just like all labeled toys now. I still think they use pink and blue in certain areas because it matches what the toy's packaging is, right? Mm-hmm. Like the toy companies still market Barbies in pink packaging. Mm-hmm. You know, Hot Wheels still markets those Hot Wheels in blue packaging, right? Like it's not going away because it's part of the brand.
Right. Yeah.
So those things aren't really avoided. And so when people are walking down the aisles, they like naturally take their kids to these aisles of what they grew up with and that kind of stuff. So it's kind of passed along, right? So.
Yeah. That kind of reminds me of like the gender reveal parties. And what more recently has caused fires over here was a gender reveal.
Yeah. An explosive device that they use to show pink or blue smoke or whatever.
Yeah. I mean, it's really silly. I hope that people realize that when they kind of really sit and think about it, like how much we put into these different constructs of what we think it means to have a female baby and a male baby and kind of what we do.
Yeah.
It's really weird to think about sometimes.
Yeah, people always want to know the sex, right? They want to know because they want to buy things that fit the sex of the baby.
Right.
And it shouldn't matter, right? Like,
right.
When babies are born, they wear onesies.
Yeah.
Like, they're not wearing these clothes that we traditionally think of as male and female. They're wearing these really gender-neutral clothing because it works best for babies. And it shouldn't really matter. Like, whatever color you get. And there's all these little sayings that have bothered me before. And I know that some companies are changing that, but it's like ladies man, and you know, for girls it's like always like little princess and stuff like that. And it's like, what if they don't identify with that kind of stuff?
Right.
And I know they're just babies, right? Like whatever we're pushing on them like is what they're going to learn. So
right. Yeah, that actually, speaking of kids, that reminds me of baby showers. And I think I told you this story, and I won't get too much into it, but some people still believe that baby showers are for women and only women should be at baby showers.
Yep.
And I think that is such an odd thing. Like, I actually had a conversation with someone who told me that I was wrong and that's not normal to have men at a baby shower.
Yeah. I don't get it either. And I think that a lot of people have changed that stuff because they don't get it. And the male is just as important in raising the child. But I mean, that goes back to these roles that people put male and females in, right? Mm-hmm. Females are like anything that is seen as nurturing is seen as more feminine.
Right.
And so then to stay masculine, they have to not be seen as nurturing. So that's difficult, I guess, with raising kids and having baby showers, because it's expected of the female to be taking care of the kid.
Right.
In a traditional feminine role. But I mean, obviously we have all these different families now, right? Where we have two women and two men and, you know, people who are non-binary and relationships and all that stuff. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I was. Go ahead.
I was just going to say that, you know, families look different now and people just take on whatever role is needed.
Right. And I think that's what the point is. I think I was reading something the other day. There were two people talking about gender roles and what couples would be happier, the ones that are egalitarian and kind of are partners, or the ones that fit those traditional gender roles. And I don't think it's as simple as that. I think that everybody's different. As long as, you know, you're living your best life in the way that you want to be supported and be in a relationship with someone, I believe in partnership. I believe that it's 50-50 and that works for me. And I'm glad that a lot of people are becoming more comfortable with doing what they feel is the best decision for them and their families.
Yeah, I wanted to get back to how this toxic masculinity plays into children's development.
Mm-hmm.
An article that I read, this man wrote about it, and he said that the secret to men and son relationships is, you know, allowing ourselves to be loved. And he kind of opened up this article talking about like the typical conversation that fathers and sons a lot of times have, which is like, you know, how's it going? Good. How are you? Good. And that's pretty much it. They don't go very much. They're very deep into things.
Mm-hmm.
But he talks about in the article just his struggle as a man and what he learned from his father and trying to change things and not showing emotion. And he talks about how his mother died and he went alone without anybody in his family because he was, you know, trying to be seen as stoic and not show these emotions in front of them. And, you know, it's kind of sad that men think that way.
Right.
And I think that, you know, circles back to what we're talking about with men struggling with mental health and committing suicide at higher rates.
Yeah.
Because they just have this pressure to be a man. And if they feel less than a man, then they don't know how they can go on.
Yeah. And I was going to ask you too, like, as you've kind of like grown, you know, from middle school, like, how have you kind of dealt with, you know, toxic masculinity and kind of like becoming more comfortable with who you are?
I think that it's definitely affected me still, even at my current age.
Mm-hmm.
When I was younger, I cried a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I was definitely like what people, you know, what, for better or for worse, call a crybaby. And I think throughout my 20s, and I'm 30 now, but throughout my 20s for sure, I didn't cry and don't really show emotion.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that people talk about it with me now and say like, oh, you know, cameras just kind of go with the flow, and I am that way. But I think that these last few years I've tried not to think about things as much, think about acting a certain way and being a certain way. And I think that it's kind of my philosophy moving forward into my 30s is to not let society put me in a box.
Right.
Because, you know, just being gay and being different in that sense, people don't expect as much from you because they say like, oh, you know, gay men are naturally more feminine. But I think that in the gay community, there's a lot of toxic masculinity as well.
Mm-hmm.
There's the whole like on people's dating profiles, mask for mask debacle, where people put that in their profile because they are, you know, masculine with air quotes, searching for another masculine man. And so, I mean, that's society. And I have no interest in people like that.
Right.
I will say that. But I do think that as you get older as a male, it's inevitable that you will show less emotion because of society. Mm. And I think I've recognized that more in the past few years. And I think I'm going to go forward looking to express emotion and fight these gender norms.
Right. Yeah, I think that's really important. And then also, you know, another thing that I've been thinking about, which I think would be good advice for anybody, something that I've been working on is self-compassion. I think that that's another thing that, you know, men could really work on. And I think that fits in with kind of what you're talking about. Once you are working through being who you are, then also, you know, expressing understanding and love towards yourself. And, mm-hmm. you know, I think that's really important too. And that's something that I try to work on and I think is a really important point to make.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't come out until my 20s and mm-hmm. you were the first person that came out to, of course.
Right.
But I feel like with a lot of gay men, they obviously feel a lot of the toxic masculinity because they have this tendency to display more feminine traits because that's what they like. That's just who they are. Like that's how they act. And when you have that delay in coming out, I guess, you know, it can really affect you, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone has their own coming out story about when they want to come out and that kind of stuff. And I think that, you know, everyone learns at their own pace about who they are and what they could be. And I think that as soon as they, like you said, kind of accept themselves, love themselves, then they can start showing more emotions and be more vulnerable with people that in their life.
Right. Well, I think we'll go ahead and take a quick break, but when we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about toxic masculinity. All right, so we're back. I'm here with Cameron, and we're going to continue to talk a little bit about toxic masculinity. We did want to kind of highlight some examples, people, celebrities, people in the media that are kind of standing up against toxic masculinity, and then maybe the flip side of that as well, people that are really good examples of toxic masculinity run amok. So. Yeah. I have here Terry Crews, and I don't know, Cameron, if you know, you probably know a little bit about him. But
yes, I watch Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Yes, I was just about to say that. Yeah, so Terry Crews, actor, ex-football player. I feel like there's another thing in there, too, that he does. But I know...
Old Spice commercials.
Yeah, so he is, I think he's seen as a very masculine man. Like, he's super buff guy, but he's I know that he really spoke out during the Me Too movement.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he had like a similar experience and experiences, you know, being a celebrity. And so he talked to that a lot, and then kind of follow him sometimes in social media, and you can see that he writes a lot of things about being okay with being emotional and things like that. So I think it's been really interesting to see kind of what he says, and you wouldn't expect it, I guess, just looking at him, because he is, you know, that stereotypical like super masculine guy.
Yeah, and even his character on Brooklyn Nine-Nine doesn't fit the masculine stereotypes. He like talks about his daughters a lot and talks about being a good role model for them, and he's in touch with, like you said, with his emotions and stuff. So I think there's a lot of him and his character on that show as well.
Yeah, that's really cool. I know that we've talked a lot about like mental health issues, and that's so important. And I know a lot of people probably remember Michael Phelps, you know, Olympic swimmer. And I know that he talks publicly a lot about depression. And I thought that that was really cool, that I think he also does some advertisements for some type of counseling company or something like that. But, you know, he talks a lot about dealing with depression and things like that.
Yeah. One other person I wanted to point out, since we talked about clothing and stuff like that, was Jaden Smith.
Oh, yeah.
And he's definitely dresses how he wants. I think that's a good example, especially somebody coming from somebody who's younger.
Right.
And,
yeah.
And can speak to the younger people a little bit better, maybe.
Right.
So that's cool, too. And I like that. He's like, this is what I like. This is comfortable to me.
Yeah, like the younger generations too. I think they feel a lot more comfortable with that too, with just mm-hmm. expressing themselves.
Right.
And so I think that's a good thing. Maybe like an example of like toxic masculinity, Don J. Trump, our president. Not so much him. I wouldn't say that he's an example of toxic masculinity, because he is... he's none of those stereotypical masculine traits, but I think he tries to appeal to the masculine or like macho men in the type of like rhetoric that he uses. And mm-hmm. you know, we've heard the way that he talks about women, and you know, a lot of right. people that are toxic in this way like to belittle women, call them names, nasty, mean, and things like that. So I think that, yeah. you know, sadly, the president of the United States is probably a good example of what we're trying to get away from.
Yeah, no, I think he may not display typical mannerisms of someone who's masculine and stuff like that, but I think that his rhetoric and the way that he talks about women, violence towards women, that kind of stuff is all toxic masculinity. And I think that there are a lot of politicians that display traits of toxic masculinity with how they talk about women and how they talk about emotion and stuff like that.
Yeah, and like we've been talking about, we can see that toxic masculinity comes to play, you know, with a lot of things, mass shootings, extremist groups, things like that. Like we know that the majority of mass shootings are committed by white men. I know that you had a study that you kind of wanted to talk about that we thought was pretty interesting.
Yeah, so in the study, they talk about how homophobic men and men that they're, it's kind of hard to pinpoint masculinity in these studies, but the study was done in a way that like talks about the masculinity box and stuff like what fits in that masculinity box. And they talked about these men show signs of bullying more than men who didn't. And I wanted to point out that what they pulled out of the study was a shortened version of the man box survey, so fitting people in the box. And basically, the way the study worked before they pulled out the shortened version was they had all these different statements, and the men would, you know, agree or disagree with them. And as they did that kind of stuff, they would put them in the man box. But they came up with this shortened version that I just want to read here because it has five statements of men that express a level of agreement with that, you know, show signs of this bullying and the toxic masculinity. So one is a man shouldn't have to do household chores. Men should use violence to get respect if necessary. A real man should have as many sexual partners as he can. A man who talks a lot about his worries, fears, and problems shouldn't really get respect. And then finally, a gay guy is not a real man. So I thought that was very interesting that those were the ones they pulled out of all the questions that they asked them as like the biggest indicators, because it's hard for me to imagine that there are men that would agree or strongly agree with these statements.
Yeah,
They
that's hard for
seem
me to
they
think of too.
yeah it, it they seem so extreme, some of them, and I'm just surprised that men even would agree to that.
Yeah, and you know, that reminds me of like another statement that I heard too, like there were men saying that wearing masks are gay. Like wearing a mask means you're gay. And it's like, are you serious? Like people actually think this way. It kind of just blows my mind. When we think it sounds ridiculous, but yeah.
Yeah, I mean, and that kind of goes back to our president and some of these politicians not wearing masks,
Yeah, the
right? They're
mask
trying to
wearing.
show that by not wearing a mask, they are more masculine and they're strong. You know, they can beat the virus because they're strong men.
Yeah, I mean the way that, don't want to get too political, but yeah, though, and it's just out there. He says these things, so it's not being political, but the way that he ridicules people who wear masks, and he's like, I don't know why they have to wear a mask. You know, they're not even close to anybody. He's like, why does Joe Biden feel like he needs to wear a mask all the time? And yeah, that definitely really relates to toxic masculinity.
One thing I wanted to talk about with toxic masculinity was this really funny tweet that I saw. So this person says, "Is it pronounced boys will be boys, or society's inability to acknowledge that toxic masculinity is rampant, and such a notion just encourages an environment where the patriarchy is held unaccountable?" I thought that was great, and that plays into all of this. I mean, all the way up from, you know, from the president just trickling down to everybody else.
Boys will be boys. And when I saw that statement, it reminded me of the whole like locker room talk too, that whole phrase that we hear, and that I, you know, really surprised that people still use that. But yeah, boys will be boys, and they'll say what they say and do what they do, and that's just how it is.
Yeah, and there are men that have been speaking up about this stuff. Like you mentioned, like people like going back to the celebrities like Terry Crews and stuff like that, there are men that are like, that's not locker room talk. That's not acceptable. Like, so I think that hopefully there are more and more people that speak up, and not just speak up when a person in power says it, but speak up when people in their everyday lives say it.
Yeah, that's a really good point. Yeah, I mean, maybe people think that this is a feminist thing and that women are really toting this because maybe feminists are the only ones that are talking about it. I think that men really do need to speak out, you know, continue to speak out about these things and talk to other men about it. you know,
right.
Because I think that it's important to hear it from that perspective.
Yeah, I think that if you hear somebody say something, or, you know, say something like boys will be boys, or he's just all man or all boy, like, fight against that.
Yeah, what does that mean?
Yeah, like, what do you mean by that statement? You know, do you mean that boys are more aggressive than girls? Do you mean that boys like to, you know, only play in a certain way, or boys like to get dirty and girls don't like to do that stuff? Question their ideals about these things.
Yeah.
And that's the only way we're going to, only way people are going to learn.
Yeah. And engage in a conversation about it. Like, okay, so like, why do you think that is? Like, why do you really think that girls just don't like getting dirty? Why is that? Is that because society doesn't want them to get dirty because they're supposed to be pretty and calm and quiet? You know, it's not, once again, just trying to remind people this is not like, it's not a biological thing. These are things that we have created in our society. And so I think that's really important to just keep talking about.
Yeah, I think it's important that even if you are somebody who is older and is done raising kids, you can still talk about these issues.
Mm-hmm.
And you can talk about it with your friends that are the same age. And you can say, like, if you have grandkids, or if you have friends that have grandkids, you can just be like, hey, this is you shouldn't say stuff like that. You know, even though you were raised that way, you should, you know, fight against that, because that's not right.
Right. I think a lot of people these days want to demonize things. Things are changing, and people want to say that, you know, things aren't like they used to be. But I think it's not as simple as that.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's important to point out that it is not an attack against men.
Mm-hmm.
And men, you know, this is not trying to say that men are the evil, like all evil or something like that.
Right.
It's just pointing out like what society has placed on men, and how this affects men's mental health and how men act towards other people.
Right. Yep.
And it's not all men, obviously, and it's not always as extreme as we talked about in this mm-hmm. episode. You know, sometimes it's more subtle, but, you know, like we mentioned, you know, this is affecting men's lives. You know, the suicide thing. I remember reading about a gun study that talked about gun deaths, and 2/3 of gun deaths are suicides.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of those suicides are men, and a lot of them are middle-aged men in the Midwest.
Mm.
And so I think that people need to talk about it and check on the men in their lives and say, I'm not attacking you, but, you know, I'm just trying to see how you are, you know?
Yeah, I think that's a good way to kind of sum up the episode. And I definitely want to wrap up with what is giving us hope. I am going to be thinking about it for the next couple of seconds. So I'm going to defer to you, Cameron, and you can tell us what's bringing you hope. What are you looking forward to these days?
Yeah, so my thing that's bringing me hope is that there are two shows that I absolutely love on Netflix now. Avatar The Last Airbender and Legend of Korra. They're excellent shows. Avatar The Last Airbender particularly is the one that everyone talks about as being one of the best children's shows of all time. And it's not just for children. I'm just saying that right now.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of things that we can learn. There's a lot of different themes, you know. There's a lot, you know, it has war in it and colonization and stuff like that. But one thing that kind of ties it back to toxic masculinity is that there are multiple men in the shows, in both shows, but particularly after The Last Airbender, that show a lot of emotion and
right.
don't fit the general masculine mold. And I think that's really important for kids to see. You know, I think every man in the show cries at some point after The Last Airbender. So that's really cool. Like, they weren't afraid of showing that. And, you know, there's a particular character in the show that does voice some, you know, traditionally masculine held beliefs at the beginning of the show, but he learns along the way. So I think that's really cool and really something that gives me hope. And I know a lot of people have watched it because it was in the top 10 of Netflix for a while.
Nice. Yeah. And think about all of the kids that are watching it too, you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, they're going to have other things to draw on, you know, more healthy and balanced things to look at about what it means to be men.
Yes.
So that's really cool. What is giving me hope? So what's giving me hope is that we were able to put out an episode this week. I'm really excited about that. The world is crazy right now. Oh my gosh, like
Yeah.
fires everywhere, COVID, election,
Hurricanes in the Atlantic.
hurricanes.
Yeah.
Yeah, my dad said to get your house in order, y'all. Like, it's looking scary out here. So yeah, real talk. Like, I'm really excited that we were able to get together and do this episode. I know that everyone's super busy and there's just so much going on right now, emotionally, physically, mentally. Just everyone, take care of yourselves, show yourself compassion. Do what you can to continue to have conversations like these with people that you know and your family and friends. And we have an Instagram, so it's Speak Your Truth Now Pod. Tell us what you want us to talk about next. I'd like to see. We have a couple things lined up, but we'd like to hear what other people want to talk about. We'd love to talk with people too, if you want to have a conversation as well. I'm open to that and just want to continue to have these conversations and hopefully they help you kind of continue the conversation with, your loved ones and the people that are in your world. So thank you again, Cameron, for coming on today.
Yep, I had a great time.
Awesome. And thank you all for listening. We'll see you soon. Bye.